true. Now, you see, that game was all about winning, being successful. And when I was little, I was told that life was all about being successful. I was told that the harder you worked, the more effort you put in at school, the more things you did, the better your life would be. To a certain extent, that's true, but I began to believe that the more things I had, the more successful I was. I even began to believe that the more money I could get, the more successful I would be, because that's what I'd sort of been told. And today we're told similar things, aren't we, in different places. We watch on telly and we see people, even if they don't tell us, we see what people look like, and it seems to be telling us that the more talent we have, that the more we know, that the harder we work, that the better looking we are, the more successful we will be. That seems to be what we're told by how we see people. And by success, we mean what other people can see in our lives. Take a look at David Beckham. Just to mention him again, haven't mentioned him for many years, so come on. But you know, people would say he was successful. He has a large family. He has lots of money. He's talented on a football pitch. He has a beautiful wife. I'm saying, you know, this is what people say. He has all these things. People would say he was successful. He's conquered Britain and he's conquered the United States. He has a big house. He has money. He has family. He has everything people would say success was all about. You just need to look at him and you think he's succeeded in life. That's what we're told. That's what I was told when I was little, and that's what we see today. But the question is that necessarily true? Is success about what you look like and what you have? Steve's going to come and tell us a story from the Bible about a man. Well, let's see what he says when he tells a story.
Yeah, thank you. In Holiday Club, we've been doing stories about... who have we been doing stories about? We have been doing about stories about Simon Peter. So it's obvious today we're going to do a story about... No. You see? We're going to do a story about someone called Paul, who thought that actually he could be a success in life. He thought that he could be somebody. And the way he was going about his life to make sure he was going to be something was... getting Christians. That's what his job was. That's what he set his mind out to get Christians. And actually, someone by the name of Stephen in the Bible, we read about him when he was killed. And he was had stones thrown at him. He was stoned. If you do a second biblical assembly, you have to be careful when you say that. So I found out. But he was killed. And Paul watched on. And Paul from then went to the high priest and said, give me a letter, give me loads of letters so that I can go to a place called Damascus. And so if I find any Christians in the temples, in the churches, if I find any Christians, I can bring them back under arrest and we can try them and ultimately we can kill them. That's what was happening. So Paul gathers a group of people, he gets these letters and he starts making his way to a place called Damascus. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story. We'll have a volunteer, in fact, so somebody's quite good at acting. Go on, Daniel. So Daniel is Paul, and so Daniel's got the letters off the high priest. Here we go. And off he goes, and he starts making his journey to Damascus. Quite cool, he's Paul.
Yeah.
Paul is quite cool, he's got a little bit of a scroll. Struck, and he's on his way when suddenly, as he's making his way to Damascus, on his way with a group of people, all of a sudden there's a bright shining light. Hold on, strutty man. There's a bright shining light, and it's so bright that Paul falls to the ground.
Dramatic, yes, good.
Anyone got a mobile phone? No. He's all right, even though you can't see him. He's all right, he's all right. He's putting his thumbs up. He's all right, he's down here, he's okay. And he's struck by a bright light. And he falls to the ground and he hears a voice. Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? have a go at Christians. Ultimately, by killing Stephen, by doing other things, you're persecuting, you're going against me. And Paul goes, well, who are you? Who are you? Who is this voice? And the voice says, it's Jesus. Jesus is the one that you are persecuting. Jesus is the one that you're going against by doing these things. And then he says, he gets a message saying, take him to a house. So a particular house in Damascus. So Paul gets up, but unfortunately, he can't see. Suddenly realizes that he's blind. And so the soldiers, and exactly, oh, very good acting. Keep going. Oh, yes. But the soldiers, feeling kind, and the people that are with him, take him and lead him to this house. Sometimes you choose good people. I like good acting, very good. And he's in the house, but he's actually quiet. But actually he can't see, and he's there for 3 days. And 3 nights, and he can't see. And he's quite sad. Let's change the tone. There we go. He's quite sad. And he's got a lot of time now to think. Now, at the same time, there's a man called Ananias. Volunteer? Go on, Ananias. Trying to equal it here. At the same time, there's a man called Ananias who's here. If you can. And Ananias is praying, and as he's praying, he gets this vision and this dream, if you like. And in this vision, God talks to Ananias and says, Ananias, I want you to go to Straight Street. This is the place. I want you to go to a house of a guy called Judas on Straight Street, and there you'll meet somebody called Paul. And I want you to touch Paul's eyes. I want you, he's blind, and he's been blind for 3 days. I want you to go and touch his eyes. So he can see again. And Ananias thinks, I've heard of Paul. I've heard of Paul. Paul, he kills people like me. If that was me, I'd have just gone, no way. And Ananias probably went for a bit of a battle saying, actually, no, I've heard of Paul. He kills people, he'll kill me. But this message, the voice sort of says that in his dream, he says, no, you're going to be okay. Just trust me. Follow me, and you'll be okay. And so, Ananias makes his way to Straight Street, where he finds Paul. And he's a bit nervous. That's not what you do. You laugh and giggle when you're nervous sometimes. Maybe that's what Ananias did. And Ananias gets in the house and he's really shaking. Yeah, he said, right, sir. But he comes to Paul and he says, Jesus, God has sent me to bring you sight again. And touches, I don't think it says in the Bible, touches his eyes, but it says it touches him, let's touch his eyes. And immediately, it says in the Bible, like scales fell from Saul's eyes. And all of a sudden, he could see again. Excellent, go sit down, you guys. Give him both a round of applause. Despite what Paul was doing, despite Paul killing Christians, wanting to have a vendetta against Christians, Jesus still loved him. And Jesus had a purpose for his life. Jesus chose Paul. In fact, from that moment on, those 3 days changed Paul's life. They changed his heart. And from that moment on, instead of being trying to kill Christians, he went out telling other people how magnificent Jesus was and how they should follow him. Paul learnt to trust in Jesus. One of the memory verses that we did at Holy Club was trust in the Lord.
Now, you noticed in that song that we sang about a lot of the things we sang about and talked about at Holy Club, about God's love and about his power, which is what we sang about in our first song as well. And Steve's going to come back up now and have some feedback from the Holy Club so that the children themselves can actually tell us what they did and what they enjoyed.
So group time as well. Yeah. So you started off all together in the hall, which was led by John Hardwick. We ended up all together, and in between the 3 half-hours, we rotated around games, craft, and sort of group time.
Yeah.
What was your favourite thing about Holy Club?
Craft.
And I think we do have some craft things here, so Judith's going to come up and help us. Which thing in particular was one of your favourites?
the cross-shaped shrinky.
Do we want to go and get hold of a cross-shaped... Have we got a shrinky? Oh, the only one we haven't bought. Come and describe it. You left your time. But basically, you make these... you colour in these crosses about that sort of big.
And then you put them in the oven and they shrink, like, 7 times smaller.
And they... 7 times?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. And so you shrink it to 7 times smaller and they end up with a cross which is hard, and then you can do all sorts of... You wear the key ring, all sorts of things, can't you? So well done. Let's hear from somebody. Here, come and say. You were the leaders of?
I led the Apollo group, which was like a year one. It's like 5 and 6 year olds. And you think as a leader, oh, I've heard these stories before, done holiday club before. It's all about just helping the children, but it's just amazing to be... It's such a privilege to be with the children... none of the children in my group I knew before, and when you talk to them and we learn little prayers together and we learn to use our fingers to tell prayers, and just seeing them on that little journey just for those few days take a little step of understanding towards who Jesus is and how much he loves them is a real blessing, and I would really encourage anyone who's free to get involved, because it certainly has blessed me and helped me with my boys, and it's not just about serving the children, it's about growing ourselves as well. So it's a really good week.
Just to let you know, we had 155 children in our care last week, which is more than last year, so that is amazing. Isn't that amazing? We've got 155 children through Holiday Club listening. Some of them were really little, but listening to John and to the all the group leaders and all the helpers, and learning about God, and that's, we just think that's brilliant, and we thank God for all those children.
So it's a really fun time, and the aim of it is for the children to come and have a lot of fun, but we also, because we are Christians, we sort of want to share some of the Christian values that we have and some of the stories that are important to us. And just because there's so much in the world that actually gives a wrong image, perhaps, of Christian things. So we just want to, for that week, just be able to say, actually, here's a Christian perspective on some of these things, on the way the world works as well. And we do it in a fun environment using Starship Discovery. These banners were not made from us. They were made from a friend of mine in Bedford. There's loads of them, and put an awful lot of work in. So Starship Discovery, we don't just do that. The guy, John Hubbett, writes the material, and it goes all around the world, actually Australia, South Africa, other countries, other places use it, sometimes for as small as 12 children, sometimes as big as 2,000. And he's at Saffron Walden next week, I think, doing the same theme for over about 1,000 children. So, you know, it has a real impact on us, and I think it's fantastic that we have an opportunity as you know, Christians and as churches to be involved in something like this. Thank you.
Now, in a moment, we're going to have a quiz based on the story that Steve told and what I'm about to say.
Which means you need to listen.
Because you see, Steve told a story about Saul, who met Jesus and became Paul because his life changed. But the thing about Saul, when he was Saul, is his life was really successful anyway, like we talked about at the beginning. He had all the things you needed to be successful. So how could Jesus... meeting with him make his life better? Well, the thing is, when we look at people, we see what we can see. We just look at what their life is like, what they've got, what they look like. But when Jesus looks at people, he looks at that, but he also can see past that into our heart. And he could see that in Saul's heart, he was angry and violent. He was hurting people. And so when Jesus met with Saul, he didn't change all the things we would say were successful. He looked inside at his heart, and he changed his heart to be one that was full of hate and anger to one that was full of love and wanted to tell other people about Jesus. And that's the thing about us, is that Jesus looks at our lives as well. And he's not so interested in all the things that we have, in what we look like, in all the clothes that we wear, in all the things that we do. He's interested in what we're like inside, whether our hearts are full of love, whether we're happy, whether we're content, or whether our hearts are full of anger, whether we're unsettled, whether we're not happy. And so when we meet with Jesus, he wants to meet with us as well and change our hearts to make us full of love and to make us happy so that we can live lives that then show other people what he's like. So just as Jesus met Saul, changed his life for the better inside, and asked Saul to follow him, So Jesus does the same for us. He wants to meet with us, change our hearts inside, and ask us to follow him with our lives. We don't have to change our names. Saul was very well known, and so he changed his name to Paul and started to follow Jesus and do different things. But we can change our lives as well by meeting Jesus.